In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The Gospel of today comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 8. And it's the very familiar passage or parable that we're all, you know, very familiar with, the parable of the sowers. And in this parable, our Lord says that there are, you know, three kinds of people and how they deal with the Word of God. And in verse 12, he says that about those seeds that are thrown by the wayside, he says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So the Lord describes these people as they hear the word of God, they hear the message, but then there's something, or the devil, or something else in the world that causes this word to be taken out of our hearts. And actually, I think there is a big problem in our society that I think ultimately Satan is behind all of this, as he is with every, you know, bad thing. And I think this attack that maybe plagues not just our young, you know, the young generation, but even the older generation. And this is the issue of boredom, Many of us are probably sitting here today listening to this sermon and already I'm bored. So hopefully this message is for you. Why even speak about boredom to begin with? I'll just rattle off a couple of statistics here. It says that 54% of all Americans go to work primarily to escape the boredom of life at home. So more than half of the people go to work just so they don't be bored. They're not bored at home. Get this one. 70% of American teenagers say they are bored with school. I'm surprised this isn't even a higher number. Many of the kids, they'll say they're bored at school, they're bored at church, they're bored everywhere. And 25% of teenagers say that they got drunk on the weekend because they were what? They were bored. And then also a study that was done by Columbia University found that young people between the ages of 12 and 17 who are frequently bored are 50% likelier than those not often bored to smoke, drink, get drunk, and use illicit drugs. So 50% is a pretty big number. So boredom is a big issue to our young ones, and even to our life. So, what is boredom? What is boredom? I think immediately the first thing that comes to mind when you think of boredom is unoccupied, having nothing to do. Actually, in the Oxford Dictionary defines it as following. It says, feeling weary because one is unoccupied, which is the common understanding, and two, or lacks interest in one's current activity. And I think this is the part of the definition that really plagues the most of us. And when we speak about boredom, it's also associated with many different things, associated with being wearisome, apathy, not wanting to do things, unconcerned. And I think the best way to describe this on the mouth of our young kids, one word will sum it up, and that's whatever. You know, you ask them to do something, and they're like, oh, whatever. What do you think about this? Whatever. So whatever here is kind of like the word of boredom. What do you want to do? Whatever. So what types of boredom are there? There are three primary types of boredom. One is that when people are forced to do or engage in activities that they are uninterested in. This may be me about like a certain subject in school. I don't like, English, or I don't like doing this part of my job at work. They do it because they have to, but they're not interested in it. This is one type. Another type is people who are not allowed to do something that they want to do. So this is something that I want to do, and I can't do it. For example, if I like to play sports, and I can't play sports while I'm sitting in the classroom. So again, another type of boredom. And the third is that when people just find themselves unable to stay interested in the current activity or surroundings. So they're unable to just stay focused or stay, you know, on the specific task. And I think this one has to do with each one of our like satisfaction threshold. I have a certain level of, you know, satisfaction that I want to, you know, try to attain. And if I don't get there, that will, you know, lead me to boredom. And we'll discuss some different things about what affects this satisfaction threshold. So is boredom a sin? Is not doing anything a sin? Our Lord says in Matthew chapter 12, he says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So if we could be condemned for our idle words, the words that are just pointless or idle, then what can we say about our whole, you know, our whole being or our entire body? Also, if we remember when the Lord spoke to the Pharisees and he spoke about the unclean spirits, this is in Matthew also chapter 12, he says, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through the dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it also be among this wicked generation." So he's saying, if a demon comes out and then goes out into the land or whatever and comes back and finds my heart, my soul, my mind empty, he will come not only with himself, but with seven other demons with him. And all we know the familiar saying that an empty mind is what? It's the devil's playground. So idleness leads to the opportunity for sin to enter. So yes, being bored is a sin. And if maybe at a moment it's not, you know, a sin in like the few minutes or the half an hour, whatever, that I'm bored, it can lead to sin. So it can be a sin and it can also lead to sin. So what are the dangers of boredom? Socially speaking, I mentioned before that it can increase the occurrences of alcoholism, drug addiction, even eating disorders. People eat because they're just bored. They have nothing to do, so they just eat. Also, reduced productivity at work. People, you know, if they're bored, they don't want to work. يعني مش بيشتغل بزمة or بدماغ, as they say. Also, boredom can lead to anger and irritability. How so? Because when I'm bored, I just want to do things that I want to do. And then when anybody interrupts that, I become angry at them and yell at them. So we can become angry. It can lead to gambling addictions. If I'm bored and have nothing to do, then I'm searching for some excitement because my satisfaction threshold is not met. So I seek after these kind of behaviors. Also, anxiety problems. Again, we focus on different things to try to occupy our time. So it can make us anxious. Also depression, it can lead to depression, poor performance in school, and also can lead to family problems. If I'm bored and I don't, you know, I try to occupy my time with video games or the TV, then we're not participating in the family life. It can lead to family problems, a miscommunication between family members. So there are a lot of dangers. What about spiritually speaking? How can boredom affect us spiritually? If we remember the parable of the 10 minas that the Lord Christ said, he's told us of a nobleman who went to a far country, and then he gave some workers something for them to watch over, something that they were responsible for. And then one of the men that received something from the master, it said that he didn't do anything with it. But he hid it. He didn't invest it in the bank. And then the man said to him, to the master, he says, "For I feared you because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap where you did not sow." So he said, "I deposited it because I was scared of you." And the Lord said, "Actually, this, you know, you judged yourself. If you knew that this is how I was, you should have put it in the bank for it to receive interest." So then the Lord responded and said to him, "For I say to you that that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." So even the gift that he had was going to be taken away from him. So when we're caught up with this boredom, and God has given us a certain gift, a certain talent, or certain opportunities, if we don't use and seize this opportunity for the glory of his name, guess what? He could take it from us. If we don't glorify him in the gifts he's given us, he might say, "Why would I give it to him? Let me take it from him and give it to somebody else who can use it for the glory of my name." So we learn two things from here. One, that we will be held accountable for the gifts, opportunities, and the talents that we have. And two, we learn that what we have might even be taken away from us if we are not faithful in using it for the glory of the Lord's name. So what are the causes of boredom? Why do people get bored? I think the first one is because of overstimulation. We're overstimulized. That's the word. So what happens is that people that are typically bored, they only commit themselves 20% to an activity. So they'll do their schoolwork, only 20% effort. They'll do, maybe if they have a job, 20% effort. They'll, read a book, 20% effort. Everything is just, 20% effort. So what end up happening is they'll search for many different things to occupy their time and only devote 20% of the time or 20% of my effort to this thing. And the ironic thing is that, I'm sorry, that's undercommitment, forgive me. So the overstimulation, we said it will lead to dissatisfaction. So we look for several different things to stimulate our mind and stimulate our interest. So we get involved with several different things, and the result of that is that we become dissatisfied, and we always desire new things. So if you're bored, you always become looking for a new job, new different gadget to play with. And some people might get bored with friends, search with new friends. And some people might even get bored with their spouse and say, "Okay, I'm bored with her. Let's try to find somebody else." So this overstimulation is one of the causes of boredom. So if you find that your children are going from one thing to another, can't stay focused on one thing, they might be bored. That means, hey, we need to engage our children. Sit down, play with them, interact with them. Don't just prop them in front of the TV or prop them in front of the video games while you go do your own thing. We need to engage our children so they don't develop this overstimulated mind, and therefore it will lead them later in their schoolwork and in their work, their careers, they'll be unable to stay focused. The second, like I said, was overstimulation. I mean, sorry, undercommitment, where they only give 20% of effort in everything that I do. And ironically, the people that are undercommitted, they will actually revert to overstimulation as a type of means. So it becomes this vicious cycle. I'm overstimulated, and then I undercommit. Then I search for more stimulation, then I undercommit. So it just keeps going back and forth. And then you get caught in this little cyclone of boredom, searching for new things to stimulate myself and spark my interest. And actually, I think the problem with the boredom is something a little bit deeper. It's within the self. I think maybe sometimes the reason that we become bored is because we turn into bored people. We turn into boredom itself. So the problem is actually within. My inability to focus on things outside, and all I'm focused on is me and myself. How can I give myself satisfaction? So what is the cause of spiritual boredom? So maybe these are social boredom. What about spiritual boredom? I think with spiritual boredom, when we say we come to church and we're bored, we pray and we're bored, we read scripture and we don't understand and we're bored. I think for spiritual boredom, I think it comes down to we just stop moving forward. When we're content with where I am, with the status quo, I'm content with attending church once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month, and maybe hearing one sermon a week. I'm content with this. And maybe reading one chapter in the course of a whole week. This is what I'm content with. Once we develop this contentment with our spiritual life, then we become bored with it. Then we turn to look at it as just being something we fulfill and mark off a check mark. So when Abuna asks us, did you read the Bible? I say, yeah, I read the Bible. So if we get content with our spiritual life or stop moving upward, this will lead to boredom. So we need to start, keep moving upward, and we'll hear. And here St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, being transformed, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the image of the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So he says here, there should be a movement from one glory to the next glory. And mind you, he's mentioning here glory. So this is something good, something glorious. So once we received, attained maybe a certain virtue, we move on to the next virtue. We don't say, okay, I attained the virtue of giving, and now I can give anything, and we're content with that. No, let's move on. The virtue of love, be able to love my enemies, and to train ourselves on these. So we should be always seeking to move from glory to glory. So what's the remedy of boredom? How do we treat this? If I'm this bored person, how do I treat it? The first is to strategize. If I know that when I come back from school, I'm going to have 2 hours where I have nothing to do. I'm going to do my homework right when I come back from school, or when I come back from work, I'm going to do this activity, get the food for the kids ready, and I have my certain schedule. I know at the end of the day, I have maybe an hour or 2 hours of nothing to do. Plan what you will do in those 2 hours. Don't just leave it bil baraka, as they say. But let's plan those 2 hours. Okay, half an hour, an hour, I'm gonna, sit and talk with my children or with my wife, and keep up with what's going on in the family. Another hour, if you want to watch, something, on television for half an hour or an hour. So you have something planned and set those limits. So we have to strategize how we will do, or how we will, entertain ourselves or occupy ourselves with those few hours that we have of nothing to do. The second, like I said, if we said the cause of spiritual boredom is not moving upward, then we need to start moving upward. We have to begin. And if you say, I'm bored at church, okay, you have to begin to start to participate. I just had one of the children yesterday come to me and tell me, that I was bored, and then I started singing and chanting the hymns with the deacons and becoming more involved, and he told me the 3 hours that the liturgy is felt like 1 hour. I was like, that's exactly how it should be. If we participate in the services and follow along, and what Abuna is praying, I also pray to my heart, in my heart, and meditate upon these words and make them a reflection of to God on what is in my own heart, then I won't be bored. Actually, you'll finish the liturgy and you'll say, are we done? Not, are we there yet? This communion, is it communion time? Whenever we hear the last confession by the deacon, it's like, the finish line, the home stretch. Also, number three is to train yourselves to set limits for media. Set limits to what we do with the media, how we interact with the media. Whether it be music, social media, TV, surfing the internet, set limits for these things. Oftentimes we start something and say, okay, I'm going to do this for an hour, and we find ourselves captivated in whatever it is that we're doing, and we end up watching TV maybe for a couple of hours, surfing on the internet for hours, playing the video games for hours. So we have to be able to set limits. Everything that we're involved in the media is not going anywhere. Believe me. The game that you're playing, you can pause and save and come back to it. And even if you don't save it, it's going to delay you one day from seeing the final congratulations, you're the winner. And that's it. Nothing's changed in your life. You gain nothing out of, from this. And then you're going to say, well, that was easy. Let me go get another game that's a little more challenging. And it'll be a never-endless cycle. So we have to set limits. This stuff isn't going anywhere. The people on Facebook and Twitter, they're not going to change their life if they didn't get your updated status that I'm at school, or I'm studying, or I'm bored, doing nothing. Nothing's going to change. What did our parents do back in the day when, you know, they didn't have this thing? Nothing. They still kept, life was on, going on. They communicated with each other. They got together. They had fellowship with one another. But just set time limits. And parents, help your children discipline themselves and set time limits with the media. The last thing is to redeem the time. To redeem the time. What this means is do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. For example, if I'm supposed to be in school, I be in school mentally. If I'm supposed to be in church, focus our attention on things of the church. If my responsibility, grades 1 through or K through 12, is to be in school, I be in school. The moment we start playing hooky and start going out and skipping classes, and guess what? That's a recipe for boredom and then for disaster. So do what we're supposed to be doing. If I'm supposed to be in college, I should be there to study and to start learning how to manage my time. If I'm supposed to be at work, we should be doing our work faithfully. The 8 hours or whatever it is that we're devoting to our work, we should be doing that. We shouldn't be, you know, surfing the net and doing these different things out of boredom to occupy our time at work. If we're with our family, we should be devoted to our family. And I could be the first maybe to confess of this. I recall once when my son, we were playing with him, and I got, you know, just a text message, so I wanted to see who it was. And I just picked it up and looked at the phone, and he's like, "Daddy, look at me." And so I immediately put the phone down, and I said, "Okay, I got to give him my attention." So when with our family, give them the attention, 100% attention. When you're with your kids, give them 100% attention. I can't tell you how sad it is when the children come to me and they'd say that dad's not around. Dad's with us in the house, but he's on the computer. Our children are begging for us to sit down with them and for them to share their troubles and their life with. Ask them, how was their day at school? Is there anything bothering you? What do you need help with? Be there for them. The kids need this. If we're not there for them, they will search for this nourishment outside. Please, if you're with your children and your family, that's time dedicated. No cell phone, no TV, no nothing, just you and them. If you want to watch TV together, that's fine. But something together. The Lord said, or the book of Proverbs tells us, "He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in the harvest is a son who brings shame." Harvest is the time for working, collecting the fruit. So he says, the person that is does this is a prudent son. He's very wise. But the person who sleeps during the harvest, that sleeps at the time where I should be reaping, that's sleeping when the time that I should be devoting to my family, this person brings shame. For redeem the time that we were supposed to attribute to whatever thing we're supposed to be doing, do that. Lastly, in conclusion, for those of us who might be plagued with this, it's not too late. Let today be the start. If you remember the laborers of the 11th hour, the parable that the Lord said, he came at the 11th hour and he found men standing what? Idle in the marketplace. He said, and about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" So these people of the 11th hour were idle all day. They were bored all day. And he came to the 11th hour and the Lord invited them to change. Now start working. Get your life back together. Rid ourselves of this boredom, you know, way of life. So today is going to be that turning point. Let today be. If I'm plagued with boredom, let today be the day that we change. Let today be the 11th hour. The Lord is calling us to work, inviting us to work with Him, work with our families, so that we will save our life from all of the dangers that we previously mentioned of boredom. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.